Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Who's your favorite NFL player that wore jersey number 63? Well, we have a top 10 list coming up of the greatest players in NFL history, and let's see if that player makes our top 10 list, because we're going to cover the most substantial players, number 63's NFL history, coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we are podcasting from America's North Shore, bringing you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So in taking the snap from the sportshistorynetwork.com and handing off to pigskindispatch.com, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome to another Pigpen bonus edition of the Jersey Football by Numbers, NFL's greatest players that wore the jersey number 63. Now, we have an exciting lineup tonight, because we are going to cover as many of the substantial number 63s in NFL history, 101 plus years of NFL history, and all those players that wore the 63. We're going to try to choose a top 10 for you and talk about at least most of the substantial players that wore that in jersey number 63. Now, we're going to start off, as we always do, with Canton, Ohio's Pro Football Hall of Fame. They have given us a list of seven individuals that wore the number 63 that are enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they are, in alphabetical order, Dermoni Dawson, Willie Lanier, Mike Munchak, Leroy Selman, Dick Stanfill, Y.A. Tittle, and Gene Upshaw. Now, those are just some spectacular players. And I think we want to start off with the last player we just discussed there, alphabetically ordered, and that's Gene Upshaw. Now, what a tremendous, tremendous player he was. Now, he was drafted in the first combined AFL-NFL draft in 1967. He was 6'5", 255 pounds, and he played center, tackle, and end while with the All-American honors at Texas A&I. And he ended up going to the Raiders in a first-round draft pick and ended up playing guard for them for 15 seasons. He started in 207 straight regular season games until finally being forced out of action for one game in 1981. And then he returned the next week to play 10 more games until it was his final season. And, you know, he just had a tremendous career, was very well respected, had the size, speed, athleticism, intelligence of a great offensive lineman, and the leadership abilities that he had. As a matter of fact, he took that leadership ability and ended up being in the NFLPA's head man and did most of the negotiations and most of those that you see today with a lot of the free agency and everything that transpired in the, especially in the 1980s. That was a lot of that was because of the work of Gene Upshaw and you know, some of these contracts. You know, we lost him a while back, but his contributions are still there for the players in the NFL, and Gene Upshaw is still very well spoken of for his great leadership in NFLPA, and he led his Raiders teams to some great heights too, you know, winning a bunch of Super Bowls there, a handful of Super Bowls, you know, seven times in the Pro Bowl. He's a five-time All-Pro and played with the Raiders his entire career, wearing that number 63 since 1967 all the way to 1981, and just a tremendous player. Can't say enough about Gene Upshaw, and that is why we are going to put him onto our list of our top 10. He's going to be our number one player going on. And then we have another great lineman from the AFC we want to talk about. One of my personal favorites. You'll see why in a second. That's Dermoni Dawson. You know, he came in and he played center and guard Pittsburgh Steelers drafted him in the 1988 NFL draft in the first round. He played all the way until the year 2000, played in one Super Bowl that they lost, Super Bowl 30. They lost against the Cowboys, but he played 184 games, seven Pro Bowls, six times as an All-Pro. Just a fantastic player that he was, and very well respected, very athletic. Really got out on sweeps, got out up to that second level, and took on linebackers and safeties. Got out in front of runs on sweeps and jet sweeps, and you know, the Steelers like to trap. You know, they're definitely a trapping team back then in the 90s and late 80s. And he would get out in front from the center position. Steelers love those athletic, quick, and smart centers like Dermonti Dawson. And that is why he is going on our list as our second player to be in our top 10. Dermonti Dawson, Gene Upshaw, those are our one and two players going into the list. Now, let's go to a little bit different position. How about Y.A. Tittle? That sounds like a funny time to talk about a quarterback. But Y.A. Tittle wore jersey number 63 for three seasons, 1948, 1949, 1950. Those are before the numbering restrictions, which came in 1952 in the NFL. And he was just a tremendous quarterback, very well respected. So his first three seasons were that number 63 with the Baltimore Colts. And he then went to the San Francisco 49ers after that, but he wore 64 there and then went to his more famous number 14 after the numbering restrictions were settled in the NFL. And that was sort of because of the AFL merger, All-America football cards, the AAFC's merger with the NFL, and they had all the crazy numbering restrictions. And you know, he brought that over because the Baltimore Colts were in the AAFC. That's why he was able to wear that number 63. But he's a seven-time Pro Bowler, three times as an All-Pro, and a Hall of Famer. What can you say about that? He has 242 touchdowns and his 33,000 yards, over 33,000 yards of passing yardage. And he had a 55.2 completion percentage back in an era where passing was not as prevalent as it is today. And that's why we're going to name Y.A. Tittle and put him on our list as well. Even though only three seasons, he was just a tremendous player. Willie Lanier, another great player that played with the Kansas City Chiefs, came in 1967 in the AFL draft, and he stayed with Kansas City his entire career right through the 1977 season, played middle linebacker for those great Colts teams, had some championship seasons in there too. He's an eight-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro. Had a 27 interceptions during his career, scored two touchdowns off of them, 440 return yards, and just a fantastic player. One of our Sports History Network fellow podcasters wrote a book on Willie Lanier, and that's Joe Zagorski. Make sure you take a look on Amazon and get that great book on Willie Lanier. I think you'll really enjoy that. Joe does a tremendous job with this great legend of the game, this great linebacker that had so much of a contribution. He came out of Morgan State and just a fantastic career. And too bad we don't have the tackles and sacks statistics in that era, because I'm sure he would land very high on that list. And as you probably guessed by now, Willie Lanier going on as our fourth player on our top 10 greatest number 63s in NFL history. We're still in these Hall of Famers, and we still have some great ones to go here. How about Mike Munchak? He is currently a coach, an assistant coach with the Denver Broncos, coached also with as assistant with the Pittsburgh Steelers recently, came from the Tennessee Titans as their head coach just less than a decade ago. But Mike Munchak came in with the Houston Oilers in 1982 and stayed with that franchise all the way through 1993 in Houston as their left guard. And what a fantastic player he was. He had nine Pro Bowls, two times as an All-Pro, wore that jersey number 63 his entire career, 159 games started, 156 games started, played in 159 of them total. Again, not a lot of statistics other than just those humongous numbers of 9 Pro Bowls. That's really big when you played, 12 years and make him 9 of those. That's just a fantastic player, and he's a good coach too. Hails from Scranton, Pennsylvania, played for Penn State and Joe Paterno. Just a very, very tough player, and I think we are going to put him on our list as well. 12 seasons with that number 63. So now there's 5 on our list, and Leroy Selman is another one we want to talk about. And Leroy Selman was a great defensive tackle that came out of Oklahoma with his two brothers, and what a formidable trio they were coming through Oklahoma. And Oklahoma had some fantastic teams in that era, back in the mid 70s. But 1976, he was drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and played with them through 1984. I'm sorry, he might not have been drafted by Tampa Bay. He might have been in the World Football League. I can't remember that right offhand, but he started in the NFL with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 1976. In fact, after checking, he did not play in the World Football League. He was the number one overall pick by the expansion Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that 1976 draft. So Leroy Selman, all his career was in the NFL. Just a fantastic player at that great defensive end. 6 Pro Bowls, 1 time as an All-Pro. Another one. I wish we had the defensive tackles and combination tackles and sacks, but just don't have that information from that era. Hopefully, people like the Pro Football Journal will bring that to us in the near future. They may have had it. I didn't see where they did, but they may have it somewhere in there. So check out profootballjournal.com to try to get some more detail in there. But we're going to put Leroy Selman as well as our 6th entrant on our top 10 list. And this has been pretty easy so far. And I think we're going to make it a perfect 7 because I think I'm going to put Dick Stanfill on our list also. He is our final and 7th Hall of Fame player that wore jersey number 63 because he came in 1952 with Detroit, played there for 4 seasons, then 3 final seasons with the Washington Redskins, 56, 57, 58. 5 Pro Bowls, 5 times as an All-Pro, and just a tremendous, tremendous player. Wore 63 for 4 seasons. Those were his 4 years in Detroit as a right guard, and he played left tackle his final year, 1955, there. But again, not a lot of statistics for these offensive linemen, but when you have some hardware to show with 5 Pro Bowls and 5 All-Pros in the NFL, that is a big statement. And also being a Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined player, that's telling me this guy was pretty good, and who are we to say he isn't? We're going to put him on, and he'll join all the rest of the Hall of Famers for 63 and be the 7th entrance on our trip down the best players in the NFL history to wear jersey number 63. Now it gets a little trickier. We're going to go into some of these players that are not yet in the Hall of Fame. And I want to talk about a few of them here. You know, Doug Wilkerson is one that I'd like to talk about. You know, Big Doug was just a force to be reckoned with. Played guard, came in with the Houston Oilers in 1970, and then his second year played San Diego Chargers for the rest of his career, 71 through 1984. And to his credit, he was a 3-time Pro Bowler, 1 time as an All-Pro, 204 games he played, and started 195 of them. And he's definitely somebody that we're going to put under some strong consideration to go forward here. Another great interior lineman is Jeff Saturday, who played center for many years for the Indianapolis Colts, 1999 all the way to 2011, final season 2012 with the Green Bay Packers at the position of center. He started 202 games and played in 211 of them, and he just another one had 6 Pro Bowls, 2 times as an All-Pro, won 1 Super Bowl with those great Colts teams under Peyton Manning. You know, snapping that ball to Peyton Manning, that's got to be a good feeling when you got a quarterback that's knows how to read a defense, makes your offensive linemen that much stronger with helping calling out, you know, who the middle linebacker and the mics are and what's going on here. putting him in the best position to win. But Jeff Saturday, very cerebral player himself, and really complimented Peyton Manning with that tandem of setting up the blocking assignments and schemes on plays at the line of scrimmage. So Jeff Saturday is another one we're going to put in some strong consideration. I want to make sure we talk about some of these guys. There's only three spots left here. Jay Hilgenberg is another great offensive lineman, played in the NFL center and guard, came in 1981 with the Chicago Bears, played in Chicago all the way through 1991, and then spent a year with Cleveland in 92 and New Orleans in 1993. He also has seven Pro Bowls under his belt, two times as an All-Pro, won a Super Bowl championship with the Chicago Bears, that great 1985 dominating Bears team back then. He's another one. Boy, these guys have some great numbers here, and he's another one we're going to put under consideration. Brad Meester, he's another player that we want to talk about. And Brad did not have any Pro Bowls or Hall of Fame, or I'm sorry, Pro Bowls or All-Pro seasons. Came in 2000 with the Jacksonville Jaguars, played there all the way through 2013. 209 games started and 209 games played. Just a very continual great player. Had a few seasons in the middle there where he did not play all 16 games, but very durable otherwise. Great player, but I don't know, he doesn't have that in our hardware, but we'll still thinking about him. Raleigh McKenzie's another great offensive lineman we want to talk about. Another substantial player that played guard, center, and tackle. Came in 1985 with the Washington Redskins. Stayed there through the 1994 season. Played a couple with the Eagles in 91-92. And then went to San Diego for a couple, 97-98. I'm sorry, 95-96 with Philadelphia. 97-98 with San Diego. Two final years in Green Bay, 1999. In the year 2000, he started 184 games, 227 games played, a two-time Super Bowl champion with those Washington Redskins, and just a fantastic player. Did not have any Pro Bowls or All-Pro seasons, but we still wanted to talk about him because he is definitely substantial. And another one we want to talk about is Cody Rison. Cody was another fantastic lineman, tackle and guard, had 140 starts, 146 games played, came with the Cleveland Browns in 1979 and stayed with that team all the way through the 1989 season, was injured in 1984 with a knee injury in the preseason, was not able to play, but he had two Pro Bowls under his belt, a little bit stronger consideration than some of the other folks that we just recently talked about with Meester and McKenzie Raleigh. How about Roberto Garza, another great offensive lineman that came into the NFL in the 2001 season with the Atlanta Falcons, played there for 4 years, then went to Chicago Bears for 10 years after that, final season 2014, playing guard and center, played center's last four seasons with Chicago, but a lot of experience at guard, had both in Atlanta and Chicago earlier in his career. 176 games started, 206 games totally played, did not have any All-Pro seasons or Pro Bowls under his belt, but substantial all the less. And Scott Wells is our final one we'll take a peek at here. And Scott, just another guard and center, so it's that 63 seems to be that number. And he played with the Green Bay Packers in 2004. He came up, stayed there for eight seasons, three final years with the St. Louis Rams, 2012 through 2014, on some great teams. Won a Super Bowl with the Green Bay Packers and had a Pro Bowl season under his belt, too, in 2011 with Green Bay. And has a little bit of brass there with the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl championship, and he makes it a little bit more interesting in here. And let's just talk about one more, Larry Cole, number 63 for multiple seasons. And Larry came in with the Dallas Cowboys and from 1968 all the way through 1980, and he played left defensive end, just to throw us a little bit in the mix. Won two Super Bowls with the Cowboys and had four interceptions from his defensive end defensive tackle position, 3 touchdowns off of those. So that's kind of interesting. But no Pro Bowls, no All-Pro seasons, but interesting all the same. Okay, so just in review, we have our first 7 in. We have Gene Upshaw, Dermoni Dawson, Y.A. Tittle, Willie Lanier, Dick Stanfell, Leroy Selman, Mike Munchak, all Hall of Famers. We need 3 more for our top 10 list. We just discussed some really good ones here. And I think I'm going to put Dan Wilkerson, the big tackle there. I think we're going to put him on as our 8th player. He had a great career. Jeff Saturday, he's a no-brainer. Great center for the Indianapolis Colts. He's going on. And I think Jay Hilgenberg was our other one that we're going to put on there. And that makes our top 10 for the greatest number 63s in NFL history. If you can think of somebody that maybe we missed that should be on that list, or somebody else that's substantial, please email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. If you have any controversy in who we picked in that top 10, please let us know, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at pigskindispatch, Facebook, Pigskin Dispatch page, and we post quite a bit as Darren Hayes, and we also go on the Reddit, the subreddit of sports history. We post as Pigskin Dispatch there, so our sports history in Reddit. So make sure you check those out. Make sure you email us. Follow us every day on pigskindispatch.com and the Sports History Network, and we thank you for joining us on this bonus edition, Greatest Number 63s, and hope we did that top 10 well and filled your football brain with just a little bit of knowledge. And we'd like to hear your feedback. PigskinDispatch@gmail.com. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.